Chapter 45. Lunar Truths at Earthrise.
All the rockets landed safely on the moon. The crews departed the craft with their bags and headed to the palace. The towering pyramid was dull gray and rustic. The structure was bathed in moon dust with bright lights shining out of its slanted peaks. It resembled a mountain more than the sleek megastructures built on Earth. Nonetheless, it was imperial with all the comforts of the Empire.
Asriel had to stop in the shadow of our haven and marvel at the Earth from the view of on the landing pad. It was perfect. From the vantage point, he saw no perils or plagues. From the surface of the moon, he saw beauty, wonder, and perfection. It was godlike, hovering in the darkness of space, a void of strings or supports, gazing up at the moon. Yasmin grabbed his hand with her puggy space glove, and they shared a breathtaking moment watching the Earth rise. Their son, Raziel, went inside to our haven with Apollyon.
It's beautiful.
She told him through their helmet radio, squeezing his gloved hand to confirm it wasn't a dream. Asriel squeezed Yasmin's hand back as the surrealist scene of the hovering planet convinced him, too, he was dreaming. It's too bad we can never return, he told Yasmin.
It really is.
Yasmin agreed.
Maybe they'll treat the Earth better than we did.
She shrugged.
Maybe Yodova came back for our own good. All of the wars and zombies. The world was going to hell before Yodova even showed up.
She sighed in the bubble helmet of her spacesuit.
Don't hate me, Asriel, but I believe Yodova came back not only to purge the Earth of the sinners, but to clean up this wretched zombie debacle.
She turned to face Asriel. He was silent as Sophia shared a similar theory before she died. He listened on as he drank in the beauty of the Earth.
I was a spy. I thrived on my ability to keep secrets, but there's something very important that we haven't discussed.
She told him. No better place than on the launch pad of the moon overlooking the Earth, he said sarcastically over the radio in their helmets. Yasmin snickered. Then she sighed.
After Sophia died, Boa used the GQC to access Sophia's technical and medical research data. It was a routine procedure required for the knowledge transfer for the team of people who would be taking over here duties.
Yasmin explained. I'm aware of this procedure. Where are you going with this? He asked, keeping his gaze fixed upon the planet.
The data suggests Sophia deliberately altered the virus to gain the function of zombification, and she secretly added that altered strain to the vaccine.
She explained slowly.
The medical team brought their findings to my attention to further investigate.
Yasmin explained as a shooting star shot across their line of sight.
She left a manifesto explaining why she did it. In the document she left behind, Sophia said she wanted to end white supremacy, and that's why she engineered the virus to attack genes dominant in Caucasian people. What she failed to account for is the sharing of genes. DNA testing has shown very few people are exclusively one ethnicity.
She told Asriel. Yes, I know. He affirmed. Even still, we're all human and share many common genes. I'm well aware of Sophia's role in the zombie apocalypse, Yasmin.
She must have killed hundreds of millions, if not billions of people from all nationalities. I lost so many people I loved.
She said angrily. I know. You and I have been fighting Ghoul's Way before I met Sophia. I want you to know I had nothing to do with this. He assured her.
I know. I just can't believe she was capable of such an atrocity.
Yasmin said over the net. Still, I forgive her. Asriel said, turning to look at Yasmin. Moving forward, don't delay on relaying intelligence up the chain. He commanded.
I'm sorry, Asriel. It's just that you had woken up from your coma. The mothership appeared in orbit, then you got shot in the head and were possessed by the devil. I couldn't seem to find the time.
She explained almost sarcastically. No excuses, he replied, facing the Earth once more. They watched the planet twirl for a moment, but they did not hold hands. I'm glad you made it, though, Yasmin. He turned to face her bubble of a helmet and put a gentle glove on her shoulder.
Me too, Asriel.
She smiled and continued to face the Earth as she processed the fact she would never walk the beaches on the planet's majestic shores. She would never stroll outside under the warm rays of the sunshine. Yasmin would always be indoors or in a spacesuit. She spent years inside of our heaven without going outside. Still, there was an eerie sense of permanence to their new home. Yasmin thought about the 700 plus women waiting inside and the drama they were sure to produce.
It will be like a Broadway show from hell,
she thought to herself while watching the Earth spin. Azrael was chucking moonstones the size of cinder blocks and observing the lack of gravity on his projectiles.
He's like a big kid,
she thought as she watched him play. He picked up a stone nearly larger than himself and heaved it towards the Earth. He watched the moon rock float away towards the Earth, growing smaller until it disappeared from his vision. Finally, they went inside to join the crew. Once the airlock was secured, everyone took off their space suits. Azrael assigned quarters and took the penthouse for himself. Apollyon set up his laboratory in the lower levels of the moon. His consciousness was also present in the eye atop the pyramid. While the palace could generate gravity to mimic Earth, it did so at the expense of a vast amount of energy. As power was the purest form of currency and key to supporting life on our haven, they didn't simulate the gravity. The boys experimented with moon jumping in the humongous confines of our haven. They wrestled one another for supremacy in the air of the low-gravity palace. Raziel patiently read on the floor. He was reading an unauthorized copy of the Bible. Azrael took the long elevator ride to the top. He felt his anxiety creeping on him and puffed his CBD vape.